I want to jump a little bit now. One of the recurrent themes throughout this podcast is what is Britain's relationship to the Holocaust and how does that come across in memory and in teaching and education? So my question really is, should we think about the Holocaust as a British history?
I mean, fundamentally, yes, of course we should, and we should think about those intersections in a, you know, in a variety of ways. So, I mean, fundamentally, the Holocaust is part of British history, largely because of a large, large refugee and survivor population who have made an extraordinary contribution to British national life from the 1930s, onwards, and that it's absolutely important. Because it helps us to understand more broadly Britain's, the reality of British history as a migrant nation, right? And in that sense, it is absolutely part of the British story from that victim perspective. It's also, it's important to understand that British forces played an extraordinary role in even, for example, the development of our understanding of the Holocaust, the liberation of Belsen, the impact that ultimately had that or originally had on the way in which we saw what the Holocaust looked like, and in a sense, the way that narrative has become nuanced is an important story. In the first instance, in Britain, Belsen was understood to be the kind of epitome of the sort of horror, ultimately, because that was British forces that liberated that camp, and we understand now that it was part of a much wider network, and Belsen was a particular institution. So I think from all of those points of view, of course, the Holocaust needs to be seen as part of British history. I guess from my own personal point of view, I would add, and this is a, an entirely kind of personal reaction. What learning about the Holocaust did for me in terms of my own understanding of British history was it led to me asking some different questions about the British past too, right? So and that this isn't necessarily a kind of form of comparison or a formal comparison in any meaningful way, but ultimately, I understood the Holocaust to be urgent and to ask some urgent questions about, the nature of violence and the way in which states perpetrate violence. And that led me to then think about the way in which the British state had also perpetrated violence in the past. And that was an important kind of intellectual journey for me. And it was certainly important that my understanding of the Holocaust is certainly conditioned by then understanding of other forms of violence in the past.
Thank you. It was a really interesting answer because it in some ways contradicts a commonly said phrase in Holocaust memory studies that the Holocaust can act as a screen against other difficult pasts, that we can use it to avoid talking about controversial histories that are perhaps in some ways closer to home or are more challenging to talk about in national classrooms. So it was really interesting to hear this other take, perhaps more on a Michael Rothberg multi-directional memory sense, that teaching and learning about the Holocaust can open those doors to exploring other controversial aspects of British history. I'm wondering, Corey, if you could comment your reflections on that generally. But also, I know that since you've been working at the UCL Centre for Holocaust Education, you have worked on the Belsen 75 programme, which is perhaps one of Britain's strongest historical links to the history of the Holocaust in the liberation of Bergen-Belsen in 1945. If you have any thoughts on those questions.
I think the Belsen experience for Britain was the dominant historical narrative of what we now call the Holocaust at the start, although it's since been superseded by other histories. So it was really interesting to return to that on the 75th anniversary with groups of really engaged and wonderful children. And we were very conscious when producing resources for this and helping with the seminars that prepared students for their trip to the site, and when we actually toured the site itself, that we wanted to avoid a good news story, and we wanted to avoid triumphalism, and we wanted a really rigorous understanding of Belsen to emerge from this, perhaps more rigorous than what had emerged when Belsen was more prominent in Britain's Holocaust memory. So we worked very hard to contextualize it in the broader history of the Second World War and its relationship to other camps. And we didn't just focus on that moment in 1945 of liberation, but we looked both before and after. So we explored the development of the camp under Nazi administration, and we looked at the displaced persons camp after Britain had liberated the camp. And we looked at the difficulties of immigration and of managing displaced persons populations that emerged in the aftermath of the Second World War, which created some really interesting, really rigorous and really difficult conversations for students to engage in about this challenge that Britain had in administering this camp. To move to the other part of your question about how looking and teaching and learning about the Holocaust can enable us to look at British history more generally or other difficult and controversial British histories. And I think the development of a specific Holocaust pedagogy that looks at the agency of victim groups over perpetrator groups, that moves away from kind of perpetrator narrative and critiques these national narratives, and that focuses on using primary material, archive material in the classroom and testimony, I think we can expand that further to how we teach almost anything, because not only is that good Holocaust history, it's also good classroom history to explore things in these ways. And I think that kind of unflinching way of exploring the Holocaust, of looking at the horror without reference to national or comforting myths, but to look at the real facts of these things and explore these with students and give students the ability to make their own meaning and draw their own conclusions about the existing culture of memory and the existing popular understanding of the Holocaust, I think is something we should do with a lot of subjects. I mean, in a way it's easier for the Holocaust because there are organizations like the Center, like the Holocaust Educational Trust, that offer that institutional support in a way that doesn't exist for other difficult histories in the British past. But I think it'd be really brilliant if those institutions did exist. Right now it falls to teachers to develop that themselves, and there's some wonderful work going on at a grassroots level from teachers who are exploring the legacy of the British Empire or the legacy of the transatlantic slave trade, and are really developing some very sophisticated, research-informed academic resources, but it's happening at the grassroots. But if we go back to my earlier answer about the development of a Holocaust pedagogy and the development of Holocaust history, right back in the 80s and the 90s, that was also happening at the grassroots. And it took time for it to have the kind of institutional backing and that bridge between academia and between the classroom that Holocaust education now enjoys.
Heather, can I respond just briefly to your comment about whether the Holocaust is a screen memory or not, and prevents the understanding of other, you know, potentially more difficult, more traumatic pasts? I think that, I guess my response to that would be, it doesn't have to be. So Michael Rothberg's Multidirectional Memory, I think, is a brilliant book, but it's a manifesto, it seems to me, for how it could be, rather than a kind of statement of how it necessarily is. And I think that it is something that we absolutely do have to guard against, that if the Holocaust become, as a subject, understood in its own terms and understood in all of the complexity that it needs to be, that doesn't necessarily have to be something that stops us exploring other controversial issues. And indeed, it can really help in doing so, because it can construct some of the questions that we wish to ask. But actually having this kind of subject as a gateway into looking at those kind of issues in the past seems to me to be perfectly plausible thing to do, and that can be important in terms of its own context.